and welcome to our Revive service. It's good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Hesketh. This week, Pastor Aaron writes, is having a question about God and faith wrong? How do we learn unless we ask questions? In order to learn, we have to experience the truth of God and His Word in our lives. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. In our asking, we must seek the One who has all the answers, the Lord and His Word. As we search Scripture and walk in relationship with the Lord, we must know that not all things may have been revealed to us. That thought should encourage us, as it shows the supreme bigness of the God that we serve and trust. Here is Pastor Aaron.
You grab your bulletin. Inside your bulletin, there's an insert, Q&A, your questions, God's answers. Today we start a new series that's about some of the questions that you've asked. And actually, this morning is, we're not going to actually dive into any of the questions yet. I have 27 questions that you all have turned in, either online, and it's not too late. There's a box out here. You can also write it on your little tab as well. Feel free to ask any questions. I believe this is a great series to invite people as well. And if you're visiting with us, we're really glad that you're here. We hope that you are encouraged and that you see the love of Christ through us. Let me encourage you to invite somebody as we walk through this series, because there's a lot of questions, a lot of people have, and I just think it's a great opportunity to have other people from the outside come in. As we dig into this morning, kind of an intro, when we think about questions and when we think about the questions that we have, there are times when, and maybe it's in the past, and I've heard this in my past, and maybe you have too, that if you have questions or you have doubts, then maybe you're not really a believer. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever? Yeah. And this morning, I want to talk about that. Before we get into any questions and answering the questions that you have, I want to talk about doubt, and I want to talk about faith a little bit. I want to talk about what that needs to look like as we ask questions. And I want to encourage you to think about that as we go throughout. So John Ortberg has written several good books, and he has written a book about this, about questions and our faith, doubting and faith. And so I'd recommend that to you. If you're struggling, wrestling with doubt, and what does that look like as we walk in our journey with Christ, it's a great resource for us to think about. I'm going to steal part of his illustration here this morning, so I'm not taking credit for that, but I want to give credit to where credit's due, okay? But how many of you would believe right now that I have a $20 bill in my hand? Raise your hand if you believe that. Okay, some of you are kind of like, okay, if you believe that I have a $20 bill in my hand, all right, would you raise your hand and keep it up? All right, Kara, I saw your hand first, okay? So, Kara, you believe that I have a $20 bill in my hand. And why do you believe that? You have no reason to doubt that. Why? Do you really know me? It's possible, okay? So I'm going to destroy your faith. How's that? All right? So I'm going to destroy your faith because I'm going to actually hold out this, and I'm going to hand this to you, and you tell me what it is.
It is a $20 bill.
It's a $20 bill. You may ask, well, what do you mean you destroyed my faith? Did I destroy her faith? I did, because what is faith? She didn't see that. There was evidence. The evidence that I asked her was she doesn't have any reason not to believe me. If you talk to my kids, they might have given you some other insight. But the reality is, in destroying that faith and that way, when we think about it in that mindset, it is no longer faith because she can see it. It is there. And there's something to be said about as we journey in our walk here on this earth, about what is faith, what does it take to have faith, and the reality is we live in a generation more now than I believe ever has that says, I need to see it to believe it. That's not faith. And that's not what God asks for us. And as believers in Jesus Christ, and as we read the scriptures, and if we really believe the scriptures say that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say, well, if you just look for God and all the evidences of God, and if he shows you the right thing, then you do it. Yes, there are evidences. We see the evidence, and faith is that, believing in the evidence of things that we can't see, all right? But the reality is so much of our decisions, so many of mine, and I'll talk personally, so many of my decisions that I made early on in my life, I wanted to see it. I wanted to see results. I wanted to see, God, is this really what you want? Is this, you have to prove to me that this is what you want. There's story after story after story when we read in the scriptures about those who walked by faith. That's what Hebrews 11 was all about, and I want to do a sermon series just on Hebrews 11 one day so that we can be encouraged that these are normal, ordinary people that said, okay, God, I'm going to place my faith in you. I see evidence that you're working. I see evidence of your power around me, but I'm not sure what you're doing. Kara had reason to believe that I had a $20 bill because hopefully there was enough evidence there that said, hey, this guy is trustworthy, okay? Now, if I said right now, how many of you would believe that I had a $1,000 bill in my hand right now? Would you raise your hand? None of you believe that. What, Zachary? Oh, the motivations of his heart. That would buy a lot of gum, wouldn't it, Zach? But if I said to you, how many of you would believe that I have a quarter in my hand? Would you raise your hand? Keep it up. Why does it matter if it's $1,000 or if it's a quarter? Why do we play those games with God? Interesting, isn't it? Let's look at the notes, and I put the passage that we're going to look at here this morning in there, on your sheet there. And Alana, if you could pull that up first. I know we were having a few glitches this morning. Sometimes I think there's little demons that run in our sound and audio stuff. But we see here, and you'll have to go to the first slide first, Alana, I'm sorry. Click on that, and then now click on the verse. There we go. Thanks. This is a verse that I want us to look at and to kind of ponder and to kind of settle on as we think about this morning, that kind of as we move out of here this morning and live life this week. Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 13, and we know 1 Corinthians 13 pretty well in that a lot of us know that to be the love chapter. All right, love is this. Love is patient, love's kind, love's not envy. And it's in between talking about spiritual gifts. Chapter 13 and chapter 14 are really about the gifts that God has given the church and how the church is to live those out. And love is the binder of those. And that's where chapter 13 comes into play. At the end of chapter 13, though, Paul is encouraging the believers here. And he says this in verse 12. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." What in the world is this talking about? Paul's saying, listen, we now see as in unclear ways. He says, listen, everything doesn't make sense to us right now. There are questions that we have. There's doubt. There's confusion. there's misunderstanding. There's things that are just disproportioned, like a funny mirror. When we look upon life now and how life looks, we look at it and we say, this just doesn't make sense. Paul's admitting that. He's admitting that to the early church to say, listen, we can't see it in clearness. We can't make sense of everything. He says this, but the second part of that, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Just as I gave that $20, I held that out to Kara, she could see it. It was evident. There it was, right there, right before her eyes. And she held it up, and it was a real $20 bill. One day, we will see who face to face. We will see Jesus, and it will all make sense. But right now, we can't. He says this, and then he says, now I know in part. There are things to know. He says, there's part of the story that I have, but I don't have it all. And then he says, then I shall know fully. And I share this because there are some of the questions that you've shared with me that it's not that I don't know the answers, it's that we don't know the answers, all right? Great scholars have studied this word and who have spent their whole life studying the scriptures have come to realize they don't know the answer to some of the questions of life. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, listen, there are some things that we may just not know. And I want to tell you, as we walk through this series, that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to not know. And here's the reason why that I want you to think about. Would you want a God who created all the universe, a God who says that he loves you, a God who says he knows all things? Do you want a God that you can put in a box that you can fully understand? Or do you want a God that you worship and that you love to be so big and so mighty and so great that we as fallen human flesh have no way of understanding the fullness of? I think that's sometimes where we come and where the base is, where we come to the bottom of the questions and why we wrestle with it. It is, I want to understand God, and I'm going to put him in a box, and I'm going to try to understand him completely. My God is so big, to be honest, I don't want to understand him in all his ways, because I can't. Which goes along with our verse. If you have your bulletin, the verse of the month, it's written in there. It's out on the bulletin board as well. And I would like for you to read that with me. It's in your bulletin, right inside. Underneath the date, May 6th there, the scripture of the month. And I would encourage you to set this verse, to write it out, to set it aside, to put it somewhere where you're going to review it throughout the course of this month. And put it before you and put it in your heart. Would you read it with me? It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And that's found in Isaiah 55. I want a God bigger than me because I am limited. All right? Is there, and I'll just ask this, I've asked this before, maybe it's changed because we have some new faces. I just want to make sure. Is there anybody who is perfect in here this morning? Because I want to try to find that $1,000 in my pocket and see if I can pull it out. The reality is there's none of us that are perfect. And the reality is none of us can see the future and know exactly what's going to happen. How many of you got into a marriage relationship and said, I know exactly what's going to happen 20 years from now? How many, we were teasing in our class this morning, we have a marriage class that meets at 9 o'clock, and there's a couple of young people who are in there who are not yet married, and I think we might have scared them away from marriage today, because the reality is there's not one of us who signed up for marriage who said, yeah, we know exactly what we're getting into. But there's a level of, okay, I'm going to have faith And I understand that I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what it completely looks like. But I'm going to trust the person that I'm making this commitment with. And I'm going to trust the God who put us together, that he's going to work all that out as we journey on this road. We forget that sometimes as we journey in our relationship with the Lord. And that's why I've just given us a couple simple things to think about and to go with us this week. When we don't know for sure, what happens in your life? When you don't know the answer of something, how do you respond? You get mad, you get angry, or as my kids, my family would tell you, you get frustrated. One day this week, and I'll be transparent here, one day this week, I think I used that term a few too many times around my family, because it became the joke. Look out, Dad's frustrated. I said, I am. I had a frustrating day. Well, we know you had a frustrating day. They love me, and they care for me, and they call me on the carpet. They said, Dad, come on. How do you respond when you can't see the full picture? This comes to the heart of our faith. This comes to the heart of who we believe God is and his very character and why it's so important and critical that we read the Word of God. This is why apologetics is so important. This is why theology is so important. People say, I don't need to know any theology. Just give me the Sunday school lessons and I can go from there. No, no, we need the theology of who God is, the study, who is God, so that when we get into tough times, when we get into times that we can't make sense of the situation and the circumstances are blowing up in our face, that we can go back to what we know is true of who God is. That God is this. God is love. That God is just. He is righteous. God is a good God. He is a loving God. He is kind. Theology and the study of the Word is so important as we live life. I've put here a phrase that doubts and questions can make faith personal. Doubts and questions can make faith personal. And I put a key word there. I chose my words very carefully here. I said can. Because there are some people who will use doubts and questions, and they'll pose doubts and they'll pose questions about who God is, and why would God do this, and why would God allow this, and why does this happen? But they don't follow it up. They don't seek to know the answers. And that's why I say this phrase, doubts and questions can make faith very personal. And then I put a quote there by Dallas Willard. He's a scholar, a theologian, and he says this, we should ruthlessly follow the truth wherever it leads. That's one of the great confidences that I have as a born-again Christ follower. And I've told people this all the time. I said, hey, listen, if you read this Bible and you study it, I'm confident that if you really dig into it, that you cannot disprove this. I'm confident that you'll find the true and living God. And that's what Dallas Willard is ultimately saying. He says, listen, we should follow ruthlessly the truth wherever it leads us. And that isn't to say, man, we're going to abandon the Word. That comes back to, how do we study this? How do we read this? How are we taught this? It isn't that we come in here and you wait for me to give you a full understanding of the Bible. I believe that today the Spirit, if you're a Christ follower, the Spirit lives and dwells in you. Do you believe that? And in that, when you read the Word, that God can start unpacking that. And then we have great people who know the Word and study it, who help us make sure that we're on the right path. Wait, does that really say that? Does that really mean that? But we've got to follow the truth. And ultimately, let me encourage you to allow your questions and your doubt to grow your faith. Because without questions and doubts, we would kind of just be stagnant in our faith. And I'll share an example of that in a little bit. The second arrow there that you have, the third arrow really, is this: deeper relationship allows greater faith. Deeper relationship allows greater faith. Think about that in your relationships. If you have a friend, you didn't walk into that friendship saying, well, I don't know if I can trust you or not. Through the course, you realize that you could trust that person, and as you grew closer to one another, the doubts that you may have had were rested away. They were put to rest. It's that way in a marriage relationship. I wondered, who is this woman, even though I grew up with her? I knew her, but I thought, what am I getting myself into? What does this look like? And there are things that kind of said, okay, my family, our way of growing up with my brothers and my mom and my dad was a certain way, and now I'm entering into this other union that I'm not sure what this is going to look like. And I have a picture in my mind, and different people have told me that, and different people have modeled that before me, but you really don't know until you start traveling through that. And as we've traveled through that relationship, as we've grown closer, Lisa and I, those doubts and those questions start to be answered, and they start being put to rest. I don't have the same doubts and the same questions that I have about marriage 19 years ago that I may have today. I don't have those. It's that same way in our relationship with Jesus Christ. As we grow in our relationship, as we grow in our understanding of what God's word tells us and what he says to us, as we grow closer to him and experience the Holy Spirit in our life, of his leading and guiding, as we see him working in us and in the situations and circumstances that maybe we don't understand, maybe we can't understand in that moment, but as we travel that road and journey with him, there's something that happens. A deeper relationship allows our faith to grow. It's a great thing. And I put there, ultimately, pursuit takes work. Pursuit takes work. And James says this in James 1, 5-7, because some have used this as an argument that we shouldn't have doubt, that we shouldn't have questions, but that we should just live life. And I don't think this is what James is saying here. James 1, verses 5-7 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Is he saying, don't ever have any doubts? Don't ever have any questions? No, the writer, James, is saying to the 12 tribes that have been dispersed, he says this: listen, you can come and you can ask of God with faith. But don't you doubt him, and don't you doubt his power, and don't you doubt that he can give you what you need. Because if you doubt it, you're not going to get it. But if you come to God and you ask him for wisdom, he will get it to you. If you truly believe him, he will give you wisdom. That's our great God. That takes work, though, doesn't it? Anybody like hard work? Sometimes, right? When you can see the rewards of that, right? Anybody done any project where you worked all day long, and when you were done at the end of the day, you looked back and you said, did I do anything today? Yeah, anybody like that? Some of you school teachers kind of look like that, right? Judy, yeah? You say, man, did I do anything today? Some of you who are home with your kids, you're like, man, the house is still a mess. The kids are crazy. My husband's walking in the door. Dinner's not ready. And you're like, what did I do today? It's work. And just because you can't see the evidence of your journey and your relationship at that moment, God is walking there with you. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep working. Keep asking your questions. Keep saying, Lord, I'm not sure about this. I have a journal that my family gave to me. And in this journal, I've started to do something a couple years ago, 2 years ago. And in doing that, I just started writing questions. I just started writing questions about God and questions of faith, because as I've studied the Word through the years, as I've read through the Word, there are things that still that I don't understand. And that's not to put myself on a pedestal, just because I went through 4 years of Bible college and then I don't know how many years of seminary. That should have probably taken a lot less, but I don't have all the answers, and that's okay. But one of the things that I've chosen to do, instead of just asking that question and never going back to that, is I've written the question down, and then I've come back to that. I come back to that at some point in some time. I've asked myself, how has God gifted me? I've asked myself, is God ever frustrated? It's just different things. As I go through different studies, as I'm sitting in a class or we're going through life group, as these questions come to my mind, I write them down. And this is one of the most frustrating things to me as a pastor. For those people who sit in a sermon, or for those who will sit in a Bible study, or those who don't want to come because they think, I've already got that figured out. The reality is there is something for every single one of us. The question is, are you willing to listen? Not to listen necessarily to the speaker, but willing to listen to the Spirit speak to you. Because I believe that God wants to talk to us all the time. And he's asking us to pursue him. How do I respond being taken out of my comfort zone? What do my daily habits reveal about my life? Then I've gotten some other ones, okay? How am I being purposeful in spending time with God? What's the difference between denial and betrayal? Going back to Easter time, I was pondering Peter. And Peter denied Christ, but then you have Judas who betrayed Christ. And what's the difference? And why was one treated one way and the other? There's a song that I sang a few weeks ago at another place of worship, and it caused me to ask this question. Does God really chase after me? I share this because I think it's good to ask questions. I think it really causes us to grow in our faith if we're willing to put the work into trying to seek the answer. But we've got to seek the answer. We've got to look for the answer. We've got to be in the Word. You've got to study this. You've got to read this. There's a few questions here, and before I get to those questions, let me encourage you to do something. I'm calling it the first 20. I want to ask you if you would take the first 20 minutes of your day and spend it with God. In a way, it's kind of like tithing, but it's not tithing money. It's tithing your day. It's tithing every part of you. It's tithing your sleep, all right? It's tithing all parts of you. Would you take the first 20 minutes of your day and give it to God? We've provided resources for you. We'd love for you to take some back in the back, or our daily breads. And those daily breads are there for you to read every day. There's a little reading along with the scripture reading that you can open up and that you can read. There's also a New Testament. You can read through the whole New Testament in a year. There's a book out there. There's the Gospel of John. There are endless, countless resources that are online. If you have the Bible app, on that Bible app, there's all kinds of different devotionals that are on there. If you have trouble finding a devotional, let me know, because I want to help you dig into the Word. And then let me encourage you, not just to read the Word, but maybe you get a little journal, and I'm not really good at journaling, but maybe you get that journal and just maybe you write down some questions, maybe you write down your prayers, but that you spend time talking with God. Lord, I want to hear you. I want to see who you are. I want to learn more about you. And as you pray that God would show up, and through the course of time in this journey, you understand how much God loves you, how much he cares for you. The first 20. That's my challenge to you. It's May 6. Can you imagine what your life would look like, what your faith would look like, if from May 6 to the end of this year in December, What would your life look like if you said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to give you the first 20 minutes of every day? And I'm not saying if you miss that, oh, well, just give up. No, don't do that. If you struggle, that's okay, but commit to that. Would you commit to that? Because I believe that you would be richly blessed. And I believe with all my heart, by faith, I believe that if we do that as a congregation, that we're going to see God show up in some awesome and great ways. Three questions that I put there. What questions do you have about God? Don't just push them under the rug. Think about them. Write them down. Ask God to show you the answers. Don't run away from them. They shouldn't scare us. We should pursue him. Pursue the answers. And that's the second question. How are you pursuing the answers to your questions? There are some people who love to try to stump me. Well, Lord, Pastor, what does the Lord say about this? I love when the Pharisees, you know, kind of tried to call Jesus on the carpet about taxes because they were going to get him there, you know. And what does Jesus do? Hey, bring that fish here. Caught a fish, and they're see in there, disciples, you go pay. Whose inscription is on that? Render Caesar's what is Caesar's, and to God's who's God's. We had a fisherman at our men's conference who says when he catches fish, he looks inside of every fish to see if there's a gold coin. I'm like, what? I've been missing that. How are you pursuing the answers, though? You have to dig. And don't just Google your question. You can Google it, and that's fine, but don't let that be the starting and the ending point. Let it cause you to go on a journey with the great God who loves you. Which goes to the third, how willing are you to commit to finding the truth? We read in the Gospels that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm confident that if we pursue him, he will reveal himself to us, and we will know the truth. And the truth sets us free. Will you pray with me? Lord, thanks for the opportunity to worship you here this morning. Thank you that we can have doubts, and we can have questions, we can have concerns. And yet, Lord, you can use that to grow our faith, to strengthen our faith, to help us walk closer with you, not to push us a farther away, not to question whether you are a good God. And so, Lord, in this journey, in these next few weeks, I pray that as we ponder and think about the questions, I pray that it would do that. It would cause us to look at who you truly are, that we would see and seek the truth, and Lord, that we would find great freedom and comfort and peace when we see you. Lord, I pray for us as we seek in this challenge that I've laid out, I pray that we would be people who would seek to do that. And Lord, that's hard. That's going to take hard work, and it's going to take commitment. But I believe, Lord, if we would be committed to giving you the first 20 minutes of our day, that you will show up in a really big and awesome way. And so, Lord, I pray for your help. I pray for those who are sitting here this morning who say, you know what, I'm going to commit to this because I know I got questions and I want some answers. I know I need to grow in my faith. I know I need to know you better, Lord. I want to know you better. If that's you this morning, if that's you committing and saying, hey, you know what, Pastor Aaron, I'm with you in this challenge. I want to be with you. I don't know how good I'll be at it, but I want to commit to the first 20. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Because I want to pray for you this morning. Just keep it up high. Say, Lord, before you, Lord, I'm committing the first 20 minutes of my day. Lord, as these people have their hands raised, I pray that you bless them. show them your grace, and I pray that you would give them an outpouring of your Spirit that they will see like they've never seen before. And I pray, Lord, that your word would become alive to them. Transform us, Lord. Challenge us, change us, mold us. Strengthen our faith so that we can believe in your word and what you've told us. We love you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus.